Glad to be together, and as I said, even with many traveling, which we knew, I still wanted to do our best to have our in-person meetings while we can, because we don't know the day is coming when we may not, right? So we want to make the most, as the Bible says, make the most of every opportunity. And I hope that you will do that as well. I got a few verses that I'd like to talk to you about in Genesis, the first chapter. So if you could find Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 29, 30, and 31, and see if God will help us get some insight here. That'll hopefully be helpful for this upcoming week and what we have to face, all right? And you know it's customary. If you're physically able, would you stand while I read the scriptures in your hearing, and either you can read your own text, or if you prefer, read it from the screen here. But Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food." Verse 30. "And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to every thing that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And verse 31, "And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." Amen. Father, we bow together now in your presence. So honored, so blessed to be in your presence, Lord, so honored that you would honor us with your presence. And we thank you, Lord, that we have been delivered out of the domain of darkness and brought from the slavery of Satan and sin into the domain of your and liberty of your Son, brought into the light of his kingdom, brought into the love that we've come to know in and through him. And so we thank you today that we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Would you now meet us in the scriptures and give insight so that we might hear and obey, and that you might be pleased and honored by our lives. We ask this in Jesus' great name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, well, I want to talk to you for a few minutes from this subject. What do you see? What do you see? I'll tell you how I got here. I was looking out my window this past week. Tuesday or Wednesday. I was looking out my window, And I saw this little bird, and you know the bird was just, you know how they do, they just kind of bouncing around. It was in a tree, bouncing around from limb to limb, and you know, with the leaves gone now, you can really see what's going on, you know, and. And so I just stopped and started observing this bird. And I mean, you know, I don't know whether the bird was cheerful or not, but he acted like, you know, you just make these assumptions. He's like a little cheerful bird. He just, you know, just kind of buzzing around there and hopping around from limb to limb. And every now and then he'd leave and go and do something. You know, I don't know if he's getting food or whatever he's getting. And then he'd come back, you know. And there's a little nest up there in the tree. And so he'd come back and, because you see, when the leaves are gone, you see stuff you didn't see before, you know. And you come back to that to the nest, and then I noticed something else. There were other birds, and different kinds of birds. You know, I saw some, you know, sparrows and, you know, the robin and some blackbirds, you know, the bigger birds in the back. Even the hawk, you know. And they were, you know, just kind of buzzing around doing their thing, I guess, looking for food. And so I was just observing these birds. And then I thought about something. If I had not stopped, take the time to look, I would have missed this marvel of the harmony, you see, of an activity of nature. And it was there. It was there whether I stopped to pay any attention to it or not. It was there. But because I stopped and I looked, I benefited. I benefited from, and it's right there, right behind my house, happening all the time. And I'm sure things happen the same way around your house. But you know what it did is it reminded me that people often miss things in the scriptures for the same reason, that they don't stop. You know, just keep, you know, keep running past things. You know, you read it and just keep on going. You know, read scriptures like there's no caution signs, there's no stop signs, there's no red lights, there's no, you know, just put it in drive and just go. You know, and just never stop and pay attention. And I thought, That's probably the reason that many things are missed. You see, when we're reading scriptures, is that we don't slow down and pay attention. And then it reminded me of how often God had to say, look, you see, behold, slow down, pay attention. And so that's what kind of led me to this subject matter of what do you see? There's things happening all around you, but what do you see that's happening? So that's the idea as we investigate these three verses. I want to kind of whet your appetite so you'll start thinking this way for the next few weeks as we investigate this subject matter throughout the scriptures, and to see how often God has to tell people to look, and you see, and behold, and slow down, pay attention, okay? And so just in these three verses, I want you to, if you will, with me, notice that we will see God revealing who he is, who God is. We will see God revealing what he is doing and why he has done it. We'll see God revealing who else benefits from it, you see, from what he's done. And then finally, what the result of it is. Just in these three verses, just because we're going to slow down a little bit, dial it back just a little bit, and take a little slower pace, you see, as we look at these three verses. All right? So the first thing is that we get to, I believe that God is revealing who he is in the first sentence there in verse 29. You'll notice verse 29 says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in it." Okay? And so where are we here? God created Adam. Y'all know the story of creation. Then he planted a garden, and then he created Eve. Okay? And so this garden exists, and now the first the head of humanity, the first man and woman exist, and then God gives them in some instructions. You see, because they don't know what to do. Imagine being created as a full adult. You see, this is what I think people, the folks that have a problem with creation, they have a problem with the fact that God can create with age. He can create things with age in them. You see? And so just because a rock may age, look 2 million years old, doesn't mean that God couldn't create that rock with age in it, right? He created Adam with age in him, did he? Did he not? He didn't create a little infant. And then they grew. He created what? 2 adults. But imagine me being created as 2 adults in this environment. You don't know what to do. And so, because God is a good God, he's what? He gives them instructions. You get it? And so he gives them instructions on how to live. He gives them instructions on how to perpetuate humanity, because they are to, you know, they are to be intimate and have children, you know, and right, he said, fill the earth, right? He gives them instructions on not only how to perpetuate humanity, but instructions on how to survive. And then he also includes how to please him, you see, because that's the fabric, that's the essence of living. I mean, God is the master, the maker. And he when he tells you something, it's because it pleases him. You see, it pleases him. Y'all with it so far? And so so what I want you to notice here is that Adam and Eve have to pay close attention to what's being said to them, because it's a matter of life and death. Their life depends on what they've just been told, because they don't know anything. They don't know anything but what God has told them. They can make assumptions, but the only thing they know for sure, you see, is what God has told them. So you see what he says? And God said, Behold. You get it? Behold. Now the reason that's so important is that Hebrew word is hine. Phonetically it's spelled H-I-N-N-E-H with a long E for those that are listening. Hine. And it means to look or to see. You get it? It also means to emphasize, to put emphasis on something, or to put emphasis on someone. You get it? You know, and you've read it in the scriptures. Behold, right? And so that's what you see here. Well, what is God doing? God is emphasizing that he is their what? Provider. You get it? Look at it again. Behold, I have given you. You see? He's emphasizing to them, calling attention to the fact that he is the provider. Adam and Eve, pay attention. You need to pay attention to this fact, that God alone is your provider. And more importantly, he's a provider of everything you need to survive. You see it? And so this is where we start, is understanding that God doesn't just leave us in life just to wander around. He's a good God. And we see it from the very beginning, right? So he reveals who he is, and they have to pay close attention. The next thing I told you is that we can see that he reveals what he's done and why he has done it. You see the last sentence there in verse 29? You shall have them for food. See that? You shall have them for food. So God provided vegetation and plant life in the garden. You see? Don't forget that. God is the one who has, at this point, Adam nor Eve haven't planted a garden. They didn't plant any seed. They didn't grow anything. The Bible says what? God planted the garden. So God is what? The provider. God is the provider. And so not only has he given, provided vegetation and plant life in the garden, but then God gives instruction regarding how it's to be used. And this is so wonderful. This is so marvelous, so wonderful. He's giving instructions for how the vegetation and the plant life is to be used. And you see, it's right there in your Bible. It's to be used for what? For food. For food. You know, not just for shade trees or, you know, what I mean, they could have made all kinds of assumptions. But he didn't create Adam and Eve he wanted them to live. He didn't create them to die of starvation. And so look at God. Look at how he just continues to prove how good he is and what a good provider he is. But again, notice that Adam and Eve need to what? Pay close attention, because God just described their what? Diet plan. You get it? He's already told them that he is the provider. Pay close attention to this, Adam and Eve. Now he's telling them how to survive, what they have to eat. Because they don't know. You can't just run around and eat everything, Adam and Eve. And you know how the story ends already, but you see why, hopefully already you see why they need to pay attention when God says, behold. And so, you all know, those of you who've read your Bible, you know that God would continue to adjust, right, the diet plan as the generations would go on. He would continue to adjust the diet plan of people, the dietary plan for people throughout the generations. And so people down through the generations also had to what? Pay attention. Pay attention. Why? Because things are changing. You cannot assume that just because something has been one way in the past that it'll what? Always be this way. You have to listen. Because the Lord is a what? He's a shepherd. And where the good shepherd goes, we must follow. Jesus said, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. I know them, and they do what? Follow, follow, follow me. And so, God is going to make these changes in the dietary plan for people down through the generations. But he starts here with these two, who have to pay close attention. Now, you know, I thought about something. I'll just make this comment before we leave this point. You see, people have to learn to discipline themselves and exercise self-control regarding food. Now, this is really important. At this very day where we sit here right now, many of the illnesses in society are because of food and the way people misuse food, right? Cholesterol, blood pressure, I mean, you just go on and on and on. Because people don't exercise what? Discipline and self-control when it comes to food. Yeah? And we don't have to talk about other folks. We can look at our own lives and see the consequences of not exercising discipline and self-control regarding food. Now, think of this. This is also what Satan will use to bring them down, because they're not paying attention. Because you know God's going to give them some more instructions, isn't he? And Satan's going to use this very thing, food. To cause the kind of corruption that entered humanity and the whole world. Because they didn't exercise what? Discipline and self-control. But I'm telling you, you see, if they had, I don't want to go into the too many what ifs. You can see that God was preparing them for what was to come. Behold, pay attention, Adam and Eve. But they didn't. And so they were tempted and they yielded. But you see how generous God is? He said, I give you every plant. Isn't that something? And every tree. And you'll know that he's going to give instruction later on. He said, there's only one tree in the whole garden. Only one tree. You can eat from every tree in the garden except what? Except one. I want you to exercise some discipline and self-control. Because what? God is generous. And Brother Lay mentioned Thanksgiving in his prayer, I believe. And you think about how generous he is to us. With the he gave all this variety in the garden. And you think about what's in your refrigerator. Think about the variety of food in your refrigerator that God gave you. Yes? We're not foolish enough to think that you remember how Israel got to the point to where they wouldn't give God the credit, and he had to remind them, now I'm the one to give you the power to make wealth, you see. But you think about the variety in your refrigerator, in your freezer, or in your pantry, you know, wherever you keep food. Think about it. How generous God is to us. Isn't that good? Because our cultures, that's all that they have is rice. That's all they got. They woke up this morning, that's what they had to eat was rice. Or, you know, some other particular staple. But he's been so good and generous to us, just as he was to Adam and Eve. We good? All right. So that's what he did and why he's done it. And next thing then I want you to think about is who else was going to benefit from it. And I see that in verse 30. You got verse 30? And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so, you see? And so here, the animals also needed what? A food supply. The animals needed a food supply too. He's already taken care of Adam and Eve. Pay attention, Adam and Eve. I'm telling you something here. And then he's going to take care of the animal life. So the vegetation and plant life would be a source of food for the, what? The animal life as well. Get it? Adam and Eve needed to pay attention to the fact that they were going to share. that they share this food supply with the animals. And be aware that the animals were not a part of the food supply yet. You cannot eat what you want to, Adam and Eve. Pay attention. You get it? Pay attention. Behold, pay attention.
Got to learn to share. Got to learn to share. Got to learn to share. And you know, the Bible says that to us, right? God provides, meets our needs so that we'll have something to share. You remember that? Ephesians, Ephesians 4, I believe it is. Where God said, that let the thief no longer steal, but go to work and get a job so that you'll have something to share. Something to share. Brother Lay read from Matthew 6 earlier today. It says that when you give to the needy, you see what? So because God gives to us so that we can what? Share. Romans 12 talks about the believer sharing with others and exercising what? Hospitality. Yeah. And so, just as Adam and Eve had to learn to share, you and I do too, don't we? To learn that God is going to meet our needs, but he's doing it so that we can what? Share. Learn to share what we have. And then the final thing I said we'd look at is, what is the result of all this? And I see that in verse 31. And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, there's our word again. Behold, hine, behold, it was what? Very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So the things that God provided, were good. They were good for humanity. They were good to humanity. And God had to what? Remind them. What I've done here, Adam and Eve, is good. The things that God created and provided were pleasing to himself. He is the one who what? Defines good. But God said, not only am I pleased with it, it's good for you, and it's good what? To you. The things that I have given to you will be good to you and good for you. God created and provided everything necessary to sustain life on earth. So he ceased from his work. He was done. Right? It said that this was the sixth day, and on the seventh day, what? It wasn't because he was tired and needed rest. He just stopped. It was, his work was done. You get it? So what's your point, Brother Willie? I hope you're seeing. You see what we got here? Adam and Eve needed to pay attention. Pay attention that God is the provider. Pay attention to the fact that God is the one who defines your dietary plan. Pay attention to the fact that there's a dietary plan for others other than yourself. You see, and then finally, Adam and Eve needed to pay attention to the truth that everything was good. Now you say, well, Brother Willie, why is that so important? Because if they had gotten this in their hearts, when Satan came to tell them there's something better, they wouldn't have yielded. You can't get anything better than what God defines as good. Isn't that what Satan told them? Yeah, you see how clever he was with that? Yeah, but, you see? There's no yeah, but. If you pay attention to what God said, don't let somebody come with a yeah, but. That's the end of it. That settles it. When God says it, I know that's an old slogan. When God says it, that ought to settle it. Yeah? Remembering this, just this one fact, that everything God had done was good, would have helped them push back when Satan tried to tell them there's something better. That's the same with our lives, isn't it? God has provided what's good in your life. And yet Satan comes, right? Just a little old clever thing. Little thing out of the corner of your eye. Little things whispering in your ear, you see? Commercial that you see. You know how it works? Creates that discontent in you, doesn't it? When God has already given you that which is good.
Already given you that which is good.
Well, unfortunately, many people do not pay close attention until they have gotten themselves in trouble. And sometimes the damage that's been done cannot be undone. All because they didn't pay attention, you see. Just like Adam and Eve. People get in trouble because they don't pay attention along the way. Do you believe God speaks? God has been speaking. He's been guiding. But see, we're like sheep. We wander. We don't pay attention like we should. So that's what I wanted to begin this journey for the next few weeks. And so you can see here from the very beginning of life and humanity, God was telling people to pay attention to what he was saying. Not just listen as if you have some options. Don't just listen to God as if this is one of the opinions that he's giving. Don't just listen to God as if it's on the same level of what you or someone else has to say, you see. You don't listen to God like that. No. Jesus said people need to hear and understand. Hear and understand. Jesus said many people have eyes, but they what? Cannot see. Many people have ears, but do not hear. He said people's hearts have grown dull and insensitive. Insensitive to the scriptures, insensitive to the Holy Spirit, insensitive to the voice of God. And he says with eyes wide open, they can barely see. Isn't that something? Imagine that. The Messiah was standing right in front of Israel and they couldn't even see him because their hearts were so dull and cold. They hadn't paid attention for years, for generations. They hadn't paid attention. And their God is standing in front of them.
That's some kind of story.
We don't want to get to that place, do we, in our lives? So we have to pay attention. And so... He said that they can barely see, and with their ears open, they can barely hear, and they do not understand. But he said to his people, Jesus said to his people, he who has ears to hear, what? Let him hear. He goes further to say, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears. For they hear, hallelujah. So I'm saying to you, as we wrap up today, when you are reading the scriptures, when you're studying, when you are meditating, when you are praying and praising, what do you see? What do you see when you're spending this kind of time before God and with God and in worship service? What do you see? Are you paying attention to who God is? Are you paying attention to what God is doing? Are you paying attention to what's really happening when you read your Bible? Or are you just reading through it? You just put it in drive and you just keep going. You see? That's the reason so many people can memorize scripture and not be affected. They haven't slowed down. You see? That's the reason the psalmist would say, let the words of my mouth and what? The meditations of my heart, you see? You've got to slow down to meditate. You can't meditate while you're in, you know, flying through. You got to slow down to meditate. Think about it. Spend some time with it, you see? Just like I was looking out that window. I mean, the window's been there all along. The birds have been there all along. But I had to stop. And that's what the psalmist says, be still and what? And know that I'm God. And so what do you see? What do you see when you are carrying out these graces before God? Can you do? Can you or do you hear when God is speaking? Do you believe that God still speaks? See, that's, you have to begin there. Because if you don't believe that God still speaks, then you're going to miss it altogether. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss his voice altogether. Yeah? Can you and do you hear when God is speaking? Or are you just caught up in the emotionalism of it? Caught up in emotionalism when you are doing things. You see, that's your emotions are so, you're so driven by emotions that you don't hear anything. You don't pay attention to anything. Your emotions are guiding you and not the essence of your heart. Are you caught up so much in... And your selfish thinking, you see, self-pity, you're so inward in what you are reading that you don't draw the benefit of it, you see. Or are you thinking so much about others when you hear something? You know how that works. You're reading something and you just, everything you read is about someone else. You see how they could use it. You go to church and you wish somebody else was, oh, I wish somebody would have been here, you know, so-and-so would have been here today. You know how we do that. It's always about somebody else. You see what I'm saying? That's because we're not paying close attention. What does God have to say to me? Me? What is he saying? And it's not what Willie Whitmore had to say. What does God have to say? What does God have to say? Again, Jesus had a really powerful sentence, and I don't remember the exact location or the verse now, but he said, "Let these words sink deep in your ears." Think about that. Let these words sink deep in your ears. Isn't that worth thinking about? These things sink deep in your ears. We must pay attention. You know why? Because we're always in the classroom of Jesus. There's no recess. There's no recess. He's always teaching. You believe that? He's always teaching. And we're students. So pay attention. And if there's someone here or someone on Zoom who knows that you're not a Christian, you haven't paid close enough attention to your life to take a look at your own life and realize that you're not a believer. You don't have a right relationship with Christ. You've just been kind of put it in drive and you've just been going along, floating along. But if there's someone that is ready to slow down enough today and think about it, I would say to you, you got to pay attention to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where your help comes from. He has given you instruction for life, just like he did Adam and Eve. Come to me, what? All who labor, all who weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Is that what he says? So he invites you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So if you find yourself not having paid attention to your own soul, you didn't pay close attention to your own soul, I invite you to do that today. Pay close attention and do something about it. Don't just keep flying through as if everything's all right. Lord, we thank you for these few minutes that we spent together in your presence. And we just ask you now to help us to apply the truth to our own lives. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you have to say. We want to pay close attention, Lord, because the word of God is living and active and sharp, and we want your word in our hearts. And so help us today to be better students, better disciples. Help us today to listen and hear and understand when you speak. And then grant us the grace to obey. This we ask in Jesus' great name. Amen. Well, all right. God bless you. And thank you so much for your patience.